Welcome to Red Meat, a collection of the tastiest tidbits from Odyssey's conservative news talk radio stations across the country. We'll start this week with President Donald Trump's big, beautiful budget bill and how it's headed back to the drawing board after his own Republican Congress failed to push it through the budget committee. A handful of conservatives joined all the Democrats in a stunning vote against it. How did we get here to a place where the GOP feels like we have to pull back, even if it means angering the president? First up is a discussion of money matters connected to that, and how California is an example of what happens when you spend money like, well, some would compare it to a drunken sailor. Here's WWL's Newell Normand on California's budget, what went wrong, and what it means for the rest of the USA in the future.
The other day, Gavin Newsom was talking about how California isn't just keeping pace with the world. Their economy is thriving because they invest in people, they prioritize sustainability, and they believe in the power of innovation. They celebrate this success. They recognize that their progress is threatened by reckless tariff policies of the current federal administration, and that California's economy powers a nation, and it must be protected. Well, what's interesting here is that there's been a series of decisions made by this administration. He took office, I think, in 2019. And basically what they have done is they've increased spending by 9% every year. And revenues only increased at a 6% rate, therefore creating a 3% delta, which leads to what is called a structural deficit. And they have posted multi-billion dollar deficits every year since he's taken office. And in fact, his most recent budget proposal had an $11 billion short-term fix, exotic plans to try and make it look like the budget was actually in better shape than it actually was by the utilization of accounting tricks and, you know, deflection and evasion. And then, you know, they right away, we're going to blame it on Trump. But this falls square on the shoulders of this individual. And if they're so healthy, it's interesting. They have more poverty than any other state, the nation's highest poverty rate in the country, and a third highest rate in unemployment. Long before tariffs ever went into place, these numbers are coming from 2023, 2024. And all of a sudden, with just 6 weeks of tariffs, that has been a bigger impact on the California budget, the California economy, than every decision that Gavin Newsom has made since he has taken office. Kind of find it a little bit odd, right? And it couldn't be that he decided and said that in California, we believe everyone deserves access to quality, affordable health care, coverage regardless of income or immigration status. There it is. Through this expansion, we're making sure families and communities across California are healthier, stronger, and able to get the care they need when they need it until they don't. Because what they figured out is that they are bleeding money in the state Medicaid system when they allowed illegals to enroll in the state Medicaid plan in California. They underestimated how many folks would actually sign up. They've underestimated the cost. In fact, the total cost of state Medicaid right now in California accounts, I think, $4,075 per person. Think about that for a minute. 39.5 million people. They're spending approximately $161 billion in Medicaid, covering everybody, everywhere, everything, because the governor says that they believe that everyone deserves access until they don't. So he's proposed now, in his most recent revision of a really messed up budget, that they limit who they're actually going to cover. Go figure. They're going to save $5 billion by blocking new enrollees and charging premiums for those currently enrolled, because Mr. Newsom now says he's a pragmatist and that he believes that illegal immigrants need to have skin in the game. He goes on to propose a $100 copay or premium for them to be covered, which is going to raise some money as well so that they're able to balance their budget. This is the classic example of a Democrat who wants to be all things to all people and talks about how everybody else that doesn't have that same mindset is less than. They're racist, they're this, they're that, whatever the words may be, until they can't figure out how to pay for this and all of a sudden it's all okay and we can blame it on somebody else. And then we can treat those very classes of individuals that others have said you cannot afford or you will not be able to sustain the cost of offering these programs, not now, not ever. Just look at the math. It has no emotion. It doesn't lie. And now the day of reckoning. So they're entitled to all of this until now that we're fiscally upside down. They don't. And where do we go first? After the name calling and everything else about everybody who's warned these individuals that this was not going to be a good thing, that maybe we should consider economic credentialing of folks that are coming into this country. Maybe we should shut down the border and maybe we should take a breath before we start creating all of these classes of individuals and giving them social contracts, social programs that we know on the front end we are not going to be able to afford. And meanwhile, California being one of the most creative states as it relates to exotic financing programs and how to screw the federal government relative to Medicaid. To increase the percentages that the federal government is going to have to pay to decrease what the state's responsibility and obligations are in this alleged collaborative contract between the state and the federal government, and it is now coming home to roost across this country. The other day, Representative Troy Carter was making some statements about changes to Medicaid and what the impact would be on the state of Louisiana. But what's interesting about this argument is that nobody mentions Medicaid expansion. Now, so there's total transparency. I was one of the few Republicans that supported Medicaid expansion, especially during the time of COVID, understanding that this was a huge disruption to our economy, to the ability of people being able to maintain their employment, to maintain getting paid, and those that were losing health insurance and had nowhere to turn that were going to be down and out in Beverly Hills. But never did I or most people suggest that the relaxing of the rules would stay in place in perpetuity. And for a simple, singular reason. We can't afford it. We don't have the dollars to do so. It was supposed to be a temporary solution, a temporary fix. And now that they're trying to go back to pre-pandemic rules, regulations, income restrictions were removed, eligibility restrictions were removed, everything was relaxed in order to accommodate our neighbors, our friends, our family members during the course of the pandemic. But did anybody really believe this is how it was going to be in perpetuity? I certainly hope not. We knew then, and we've always known, and we know now, that we couldn't afford it. And now's the day of reckoning. As we continue to rack up trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in deficits, having to pay interest on borrowing this money in order to address the structural deficit that we have in this country. And yes, folks, the government borrows money and they pay interest. And when that interest number is where it is today, it is a huge problem moving forward. And there are only a couple of three or four buckets that are going to have any meaningful impact. This is not a time for division. This is a time for forward-leaning thinking, collaboration, cooperation, coming together, trying to craft a plan that is going to actually make sense moving forward. Will there be some folks that will be impacted? Absolutely. They were given a benefit that they ordinarily would not have ever qualified for prior to the pandemic. But unfortunately, there are certain ideologies in this country that believe that once you giveth, you can never taketh away. Even though there's a clear understanding that it is a short-term solution because of an anomaly phenomenon that this country was facing at the time. And now comes the name-calling, where those believe that it's time to go back over a 10-year period of time to a pre-pandemic culture relative to Medicaid. And we're going to call people out, call them names, talk about being insensitive or otherwise, simply because a gratuitous gift that was given in a time of distress, knowing that it was going to be an economic problem for us, and it was, and it continues to be, that the desire to go back as it relates to these rules over a lengthy period of time, a decade, right, that we're less than. We're insensitive. We don't care about the needs of people. Well, nobody cared about it before the pandemic then, because these are people that otherwise were not eligible. I just hate when we have this disingenuous conversation about these things and we are manipulating the facts each and every day as though we are providing or we are protecting folks that deserve to be protected, that they were giving a benefit, a bonus. When you get a bonus, it doesn't mean it becomes part of your salary. And that's a problem. We have those that believe that from the time you get it, you're entitled to it in perpetuity. We can't just be giving, 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 giving. I go back to this, and I know you've heard me say this ad nauseum. Let us judge ourselves by how we are dealing with the 40-some-odd million people that are living below the federal identified poverty level now. Does anybody believe that we're doing a great job? I don't think so. So why would we want to create more? Why would we want to put more folks on these social programs? Why would we want to accept folks that that's where they're headed, the direct line to a social program, and create more of an obligation on the backs of you, the taxpayers in this country? We see what's happening in California, where they want to be all things to all people, regardless of whether or not they can afford it. And in order to deflect, deny, evade the realities, they pull out the counterattacks, and it's all Trump's tariffs problems. Caused all of this. The economic woes in California, unemployment, spending rate at 9% increase year over year, revenues are only up 6% year over year, creating a structural deficit since 2019, 6 years of a structural deficit. Add that up. That's at 18%. That they've contributed to a deficit. Now, this is a state that had, in the aftermath of the pandemic, had a multi-billion dollar surplus. And in just 2.5 years, they're now in a huge structural deficit. And the surplus was created by all the federal dollars that came in, right, in order to help everybody and everything. And they provided a lot of different monies, both the Trump administration, the Biden administration, through the course of the pandemic. And everyone believes that this largesse is going to continue in perpetuity. And they have not come to the realization. They've not looked themselves in the mirror. And they've not been honest with the public, because they don't want to make the hard decisions. I think I was the first of news reporting agencies here talking about this fundamental problem that we're going to have in dealing with this, pointing it out long before the reporting started on this issue. Everybody better pay attention, because as we begin to wean ourselves over the largesse of the pandemic, that is not going to continue forever because the federal government cannot afford to continue down this path. The name calling is going to start, because the cutting has to happen. And there's no more difficult management than cutback management. And that's why no one wants to do it. And that's why we'll deflect, we'll deny, we'll evade, and we'll attack. And the name calling has already started. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Former FBI Director James Comey tweeted something that Tulsi Gabbard said was a direct threat on President Donald Trump's life, which reminded Mark Cox of KFTK Radio of all the other things in Comey's past. Take it away, Mark.
Should be held accountable and put behind bars for this.
Yeah, Tulsi Gabbard yesterday, in case you missed it, if you're watching on the socials, it's not hard to find. This is the picture that James Comey tweeted out with no comment. He claims he was walking on the beach and found this. It says 8647.
Sure. I'm sure he stumbled across it.
So, of course, the 86 referring to kill somebody and the 47 Donald Trump. There's no doubt about it. He later deleted it with the comment, saw this, thought it was a political statement, but didn't understand that it was calling for his death, so I deleted it. He was the director of the FBI. I've never been in law enforcement. I know what it means if you're going to 86 somebody. You're going to sink them. It was a very poor example of judgment on the part of James Comey. Of course, we are well aware of James Comey's history of making bad decisions, dating back to the decision not to charge Hillary Clinton with multiple violations of emailing top secret information all over the world, right? I mean, she was flying around the world emailing things out. And of course he admitted that, but he never saw fit to charge her with anything.
Secretary Clinton said, "I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified material." Was that true?
There was classified material emailed.
Secretary Clinton said she used just one device. Was that true?
She used multiple devices during the 4 years of her term as Secretary of State.
Secretary Clinton said all work-related emails were returned to the State Department. Was that true?
No, we found work-related emails, thousands, that were not returned.
Yeah, so, of course, he didn't charge her. He didn't recommend it. He didn't even further the charges to the FBI, which under a Democrat would not have prosecuted her anyway. But now we've got a situation where he is under investigation. And by the Secret Service. Listen to Tulsi last night.
We're taking this very seriously. As you mentioned, the Department of Homeland Security and specifically Sean Curran, the current Secret Service director, a man who has been willing to lay down his life as the lead of President Trump's Secret Service detail for years now. He takes this seriously and is leading the investigation into this threat.
Yeah. I don't know. I look at this and I think to myself, how could Comey, who of course has been in bed with Brennan and all these other folks with Trump derangement syndrome, who did everything he could to encourage the lawfare against Donald Trump when he was out of office, now suddenly claim that he didn't understand what 8647 meant?
So for Comey to think that we, the American people, are so stupid as to think that he, as a former FBI director, former prosecutor, and someone who clearly pays attention to what's going on, would believe his lie that he didn't know what this actually was calling for, the dangerousness of this, Jesse, cannot be underestimated. When we have two assassination attempts on the president's life, when we have people who look to guys like Comey, who've been celebrated by MSNBC and the Democrat elite and CNN as the beacon of integrity, the law and order guy, the guy who would tell the truth no matter what the consequences. This is the guy who's issuing a hit on President Trump, the president that the American people voted for.
Yeah.
I don't believe the story, obviously, that, oh, I just stumbled across it. I took a picture. Even if that were true, okay, let's just play that out. How stupid are you to post a picture of it thinking there'd be no consequences? I mean, really? This is dumb.
Well, it was on his verified account. He had basically admits he posted it.
Yeah.
Did he just think it was funny? Was he day drinking and wandering down the beach?
That's my point. I mean, how stupid are you to think that that is funny and that that's not going to have consequences?
Well, again, I mean, I'm glad they're investigating it. I don't know if it's a jailable offense. It's really hard to prove intent there. Did he just think it was funny and he was being a smart aleck by tweeting it out? It's not like he wrote the words, somebody should go kill Donald Trump. And he claims he found it on the beach, and he's not the one that did it. You have to also take him at his word for that. But I'm glad they're at least investigating it. Maybe it, the fact that there could potentially be consequences stops the next idiot, but I doubt it because there are a lot of them, and most of them don't pay any attention.
On to international affairs. Even some Democrats are praising the fact that President Donald Trump has been able to make significant deals and progress on issues like trade and foreign policy. Here's more on Trump's trip to the Middle East and how it's been covered with Tara Servatius from WORD Radio.
Axios says that Biden officials are in awe of this trip by President Trump, with one saying, gosh, I wish I could work for an administration that could move that quickly. So a lot of reaction coming in right now, many of it positive, even from across the aisle. What will the long-term impact be here?
No, excellent question. This has been very well thought out, and President Trump will allow NVIDIA and others to sell high-tech chips for AI to Saudi, to the UAE. This is essential so that China doesn't come in and make those sales, and we don't want China building Saudi and UAE's AI. We don't want them in Xi Jinping's lap. Commerce Department will very tightly control this. The most high-end chips are not going to them, but the other chips that are widely sold on the global market are. That's really good for our U.S. companies that need to make profits to keep us ahead of China in AI. It is a good deal. It'll be closely monitored.
That's very good to know.
Meantime, switching spheres today.
I mean, what a difference.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just the shocking difference of it. And again, that I want to play just the open again because the music was so loud. You might not have heard it. This is Axios, okay? The liberal publication.
Axios says that Biden officials are in awe of this trip by President Trump, with one saying, gosh, I wish I could work for an administration that could move that quickly. So a lot of reaction coming.
Meanwhile, Politico, Lee, headline, senior House Democrat offers rare praise of Trump. Representative Jim Hines pointed to promising developments in the Middle East.
Must have been listening to James Carville.
I know, really. I keep coming back to that. Our side said almost nothing about this week. This is huge. James Carville saying the Democrat Party needs to praise the greatness of the United States of America, that Americans need to hear that from them every once in a while.
Now, he's not talking about changing policies.
No, no.
But just he just talk, says, well, just, yeah, say just some talk. Nice things.
Yeah, like just don't hate America.
Yeah. At least not in public.
Right. And they never do, ever. It's always hatred, patriarchy, America sucks, we have to fix America.
Fight the oligarchy.
Right. Exactly. That is, I mean, they're supposed next generation of candidates. That's what they're doing. This is the oligarchy out there making deals for America. Anyway, so Representative Jim Himes in Democrat leadership says, I'm not in the habit of praising Donald Trump, but I've got to tell you, in the last week or so in the Middle East, Ukraine, Russia, it's a different story. He knows they're beat.
Mm-hmm.
He knows they are. To explain his position, this is Politico, again, another left-wing publication. Okay, this is what I'm reading. It's not one of ours. To explain his position, the Connecticut lawmaker said he feared as recently as last week that Israel was hell-bent on going to war with Iran, implying Trump helped avert that. He also lauded Trump's decision to meet with Syria's new president during his trip to the Middle East. I've got to tell you, I think the president has in the last week or so played the Middle East pretty darn well. Biden wasn't even on the playground.
No. No. Wasn't even riding a bike toward the playground.
His, get this, his compliments for Trump's policies on Ukraine, where Himes said that Trump appeared to be cozying up less to Russia in negotiations over how to end the war. No, he's playing them against each other like a fiddle. We're backhanded, suggesting that until recently, Russia had seen Trump as relatively friendly. Now, Himes said, I think the Kremlin is thinking like, whoa, this president of the United States is not the unconditional ally that we might have thought he was. Now, this is art of the deal. Trump puts this killer deal on the table for Russia because they're the ones really with the rare earth minerals. Let's not kid ourselves. And the natural gas and everything that we need that the Democrats have locked up. And then you know what he does? he yanks it away.
Well, it's like
that's what he does.
It's like what Trump has been saying. He's using trade, not arms, in order to get things done. That's the key here.
Exactly. And going broke, printing money to do it.
Yeah, well.
You know, I mean, like, you know, which has been the strategy is why we're so broke. I mean, because we used arms all these years. I mean, it's over $10 trillion of that debt is from stupid foreign wars. We got nothing out of Taliban, one of them.
Blood and treasure.
Blood and treasure. So when you're looking at this, okay, wow, the contrast. Why would someone in Democrat leadership smartly just say what he said? This is the first smart thing I've seen Democrats do all week. What have Democrats been doing all week? They're, we start off the week, they're violently raiding ICE facilities in an attempt to liberate violent felons who happen to be illegal immigrants.
What they're basically saying is, look over here at the people we let into this country that are in prison right now. We want to help them get back out.
Yes. They sent Pete Buttigieg out onto the campaign trail to argue this.
They're saying like, oh, well, this guy, you know, he's a criminal. The whole point is that no one person, least of all, no one politician, gets to decide that you're a criminal. Who decides?
This is about St. Kilmar.
I would say that the family of the dead Americans are pretty qualified to say who's a criminal.
Yeah, they don't count. So, and now we have the Democrats. Now they're outside trying to liberate this judge. This Democrat judge, again, another woman-beating, gang-affiliated criminal who she sneaks out so he avoids folks. Not just ICE, but also his own trial. The victims are sitting there. And they're outside, yet another wife beater, just like St. Kilmar, she wasn't his wife, but another woman beater. He put her in a hospital for days.
What would have happened if a bailiff had allowed a suspect to escape and ushered them out?
To try to help them escape law enforcement.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What do you think would have happened to that bailiff?
Prison, just like this judge should get. They're out there chanting and singing and comparing this judge to Harriet Tubman.
Oh, please.
Harriet, I had the signs.
The civil rights folks should be upset with that.
Harriet
There's
Tubman.
Absolutely no correlation there.
This guy didn't have to come to this country, Lee. He's an illegal immigrant. He could have just stayed in his country. Harriet Tubman didn't try to break into this country. Are they insane?
Yes.
But this is all
yes,
week
they are.
Long you're watching Democrats get violently assault ICE. You're watching them get arrested. You're watching, you know, AOC threaten Trump and Homan. Don't you dare touch us. Let us violently enter. We'll do whatever we want. Trump literally, okay, meanwhile, is in the Middle East, cutting over $1 trillion worth of deals, setting records for the deals that he is cutting the whole time. What did the Democrats got? Because everybody knows Comey's a Democrat. Comey's threatening to kill him in his own country. Calling for his assassination. Meanwhile, in Europe, they're in awe. I mean, I just read you from the Brussels publication saying, wow, this is brilliant what he's doing.
Do you hear what Keir Starmer did this week on immigration?
Oh, he copied Trump.
Yes.
Yeah, he's at 16% approval rating. He's like, you know, we're going to eject these illegals. What? This is Keir Starmer is putting 30 people a day in prison because they write posts on social media objecting to the scourge of illegal immigration in the UK, including the rape that comes with it and the abuse and the crime. And now all of a sudden he's like, you know what? We'll get them out. No, he won't. But this shows you the world loves Trump. The contrast here is so stark. So Jim Himes, I mean, and I've been thinking this, Democrats used to smartly do this. If Republicans did something that was popular with the people, the Democrats would pretend it was their idea.
Right.
They would pretend they were doing it.
Bill Clinton was famous for that.
Oh, he was a genius at it.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's running budgets in the red for the first 2 years, trying to socialize medicine. Newt Gingrich comes along. Finally, we have a balanced budget, tax cuts, economy's humming. Clinton signs it, takes credit for it for the next 20 years.
Yeah, the end of welfare as we know it. That's what he said.
Because Gingrich kicked your ass.
Exactly.
So anyway, sorry, we shouldn't say that anymore. So, I mean, but they used to do that. Now they're just the frothing rage and hatred. What a contrast this week is. And to end it, can you imagine how this looks? They want to kill him here and they love him in foreign capitals. And by they, I mean the Democrats. And their judges and everything that they're doing, just never ending. And then meanwhile, Axios, admittingly, headline, Inflation recession fears may have been overblown.
You think?
Data suggests. You guys crashed the stock market thousands of points. And you know what really gets me about this? They took the risk. Once you start a stock market crash like that with what it turns out, you know, is fake news and exaggerations, you may lose control of it. They took that chance that they would lose control of it to stop Trump's tariffs, which Brussels now admits this morning were kind of brilliant. I mean, this is coming from the EU, right? This is Brussels Signal.eu. So it's an English language translation of that publication. And I mean, a headline, tariff de-escalation and hints of new world order showed Trump's tactics are working. You would never see that headline in America. You never would?
No.
Not even from Fox Business. They're globalists. It may have been well publicized. It may not have been well publicized in Europe, they write. But the combination of the sudden temporary resolution and de-escalation of the tariff imbroglio between the United States and China has gone a considerable distance to legitimizing the apparently brusque method of President Trump's policy to eliminate the completely unjustifiable and ultimately unsustainable U.S. trade imbalance of $1.2 trillion. They're admitting, yeah, he's right. There's a massive trade imbalance. We've taken advantage of America. And yeah, he's got a brusque style. And he, you know, maybe, you know, didn't hold our hands and hand us a hanky so we could cry. But, you know, maybe he just whiplashed us with the tariffs. But, you know, we kind of do have a trade imbalance. We sort of have, they admit in this article, taken advantage of the U.S. going all the way back to World War II. And America's kind of right about being mad about it. They admit it. And all the Democrats have is screaming and yelling that the tattoos on St. Kilmar's hand didn't really say MS-13. And he's really actually a good guy. And can we have him back now, please? What a contrast. I mean, just wow. You know what would be the cherry on the pie? You want to talk about a golden age? If Trump was able to actually get that 15% corporate tax rate he wants, putting us a full 10 points under China. Are you kidding me? I don't know if those factories will reopen. I just don't. And it's a shortcut because the Democrats still have all of our natural resources locked up. Those, you know, pre-drilling permits you need to start exploration, they're all locked down. We're losing month after month after month because Biden did that. The best way, because we got to compete with China on energy and slave labor. We're going to always beat them on energy if we can just get our energy. And if we're not allowed to do that, then, you know, we go down a 15% corporate tax rate. Now we can compete. But you have to get the dumbest people on earth to go along with it. Republican leadership.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Red Meat. Don't forget to smash that subscribe button for your favorite tasty assortment of conservative audio. And follow your local Odyssey talk station to get shows from these hosts delivered daily wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, stay hungry.